never forget, this isn't in the book, obviously it has no necessarily place there, but I was visiting my family on the West Coast, Jolene, and I was in an Irish pub, and we were getting, like, you know, Guinness and shepherd's pie and, you know, playing board games, and the server came over, and he was from Ireland, and because I was wearing my cross necklace, and he said, "Oh my gosh, I love seeing that. Like, I haven't seen someone with a cross necklace in so long." And that shocked me and it saddened me. I mean, that was in a deep pocket of liberalism, and it just made me sad because there's many areas and countries where everyone has a cross around their neck, right? And I wear one every day. I sort of don't even think about it. And to me, it was such an eye opener, as to the potentially, you know, dark place that many people might have found themselves in, having succumbed to the societal pressures that had been stoked by certain forces here. So back to the book, that yes, it's hopefully a freeing and encouraging read. And because of the diversity of voices in here and the diversity of experiences, from special operators to chaplains to infantrymen to pilots to POWs, you know, spouses and Gold Star mothers, and just so many voices in here across so many conflicts, so many wars, and different faiths too, that I am confident that a kaleidoscope of readers will find value. And it's certainly not tailored for just one kind of reader. I hope everyone knows that too, that the message is widely reaching, and there's so much, like I said, diversity in here in all respects. I'm confident that there's something for everyone within the pages.
What a sacred responsibility for you, really, to be the messenger, to carry these stories. And, you know, I was thinking as you were talking about people telling you that they've never shared this, a lot of the stories probably remain buried pretty deep. And it must be really freeing for these heroes to be able to tell their story, to be able to get it out there. And what an honor, I've got to believe, for you to be trusted with those deeply personal stories.
Totally. And I felt a massive amount of responsibility, and I prayed every day, all day, throughout this entire project. Every conversation I had with these people, who are many of whom are close friends of mine and family members of mine, related to me and loved ones, and I prayed with them before and after, and I just prayed that we would honor God, that we would enlarge his territory, that we would be blessed indeed, and that, yes, that I would honor their voices and their experiences and their service while honoring God, and to get it right. And, you know, any success that I've enjoyed in those respects have been all the result of God's blessing and his hand guiding me to write and to capture in the way that I did. These men's voices and women's voices, and the response that I've gotten from them has been so positive. And like one of the POWs wrote recently and said, you know, "I cried reading it." He said, "Not for what I went through, but for how you told my story." And the other POW is a dear friend of mine, and to have him share how people around the world have reached out to him now because of reading his experiences here and his experiences of faith, I mean, that just blesses me over and over again. And I'm so humbled, you're right, to have served again as that messenger. Like, I take it so seriously. And I feel
yes.
We talked about my family earlier, like representing them too. But, you know, God and me make a majority, and there's nothing that I can't do without God's help. So I know, again, it's all thanks to him and for leaning on him, that if I got it right at all, it's all because of him.
And I can imagine you are just getting really incredible reactions to this powerful work, this labor of love, really, because I can tell just talking to you that this really is a passion project for you. Is there a favorite reaction so far that stands out in your mind?
Thank you for that. I think the reactions from the individuals profiled in the book, because all of the reactions from people who have purchased the book and read it, and they're all positive, and I'm so grateful for those, and all of the personal anecdotes they're sharing with me about, you know, giving it to their veteran father or to their, you know, currently serving daughter or all of that stuff. Like, that all means the world to me. So every reaction is valuable and I'm grateful for it. But I think the reactions from the individuals profiled in here, for the reasons that I stated earlier, it just, you know, that was the most important thing. Like my mom's reaction, my dad's reaction, and then everyone in this book, to make sure again that I got it right, that I honored their service. Because, you know, as we talked about earlier, because there are page restraints, you know, and I like, you can't always just say, oh, here's a perfect, exactly the way that you said it. You know, mm-hmm. I had to share the story and tell it and take over the reins a little bit and making sure that I honored them. And just to be so respectful to them. And yeah, I think all of their reactions have, I think, filled my vessel, filled my heart for, I think, an entire lifetime. Like, that's the success of the book to me is already confirmed because of their happiness with it.
Right. That's a heavy mantle to be trusted with somebody's deeply personal story and then to have that responsibility of sharing it in a way that honors their truth, their experience. Emily, obviously, so much footage, so many pictures, so many stories. I understand Fox News is streaming an Under His Wings special. What can people expect from that?
Thank you. Yes, it is so amazing. Thanks to the team that produced it. So this Fox Nation special is the sort of television component to the book, but it is comprised of five subjects from the book. And one of them in particular, you know, I had the honor of going on a USO tour in 2009 as an NFL cheerleader. And we went to Iraq and Kuwait. And while there, on our itinerary, was Sadr City. And if anyone listening has served in Baghdad or knows Baghdad, Sadr City is, like, you know, one of the most dangerous. It's a joint security station. It's super dangerous. And everyone there was like, you cannot be going. Who put this on the itinerary? There's no way you can be going to Sadr City. And even the guys there were like, oh, there's no way they're coming. No VIPs ever went, no celebrity visitors. You know, the only visitors were, you know, sort of the unwanted kind, getting into firefights. And indeed we went. We landed our helicopter in the median of, you know, what essentially was a highway, and, you know, ran across the highway into the gates. And it was sort of this urban, very urban compound. And, you know, did our thing and hung out with the guys all day, and it was great. And our departing Black Hawk ended up being diverted for a medevac. And I'll never forget the colonel in charge, then Lieutenant Colonel Tim Karcher, said, I have three daughters at home. And he was like, I am not going to bed until you girls are safely out of here. There were five of us girls.
Wow.
And we stayed up all night. We called it the Sadr City slumber party. And we never went to bed. And we just hung out in the courtyard with the guys. Like, it was like summer camp, you know, or like a slumber party. It's like, you know, you get stranded somewhere and everyone just hangs out. It's like you become best friends. Like we said, we're family for life. And it was, you know, it was just one night, but it had this deep impact on all of us. We just had the best time ever.